Hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Jay and Lehman, and today we will be going back to Unhallowed Data and getting into the first part of Act 2. So we covered Act 1 already in previous episodes, then we paused for a little bit to do paths. We'll get through Act 2, and then we'll go back two paths, but we're going to do Act 2, Scene 1, and Scene 2 in this episode. You can also email us at torgdcd@gmail.com if you want to send us any questions, you have any thoughts for episodes or things that you want to talk about. I have found it kind of humorous that a lot of times we'll record these and then we'll look in Discord and like after we've recorded, but before they've been published, people will start talking about that topic somehow in Discord. So I think that that's kind of amusing. But if you have any topics that you would like to hear us talk about that we haven't or get into deeper weeds than what we have before, you can let us know. So let's go ahead. Act 1 as a recap was basically where the Storm Knights, the main, I guess, theme or goal for the Storm Knights were to get the special envoy status to the individual members of the Storm Knight group that would give them a lot of leeway in the Cyber Papacy, where they had, like, if it was brought up, if their data files were accessed, then they would see, like, this super secret special envoy classification, and it's basically like, do what these people tell you to do, and they might be undercover or they might not look like normal cyber papal agents, but they're like the special type of forces. I don't even want to say special forces, but they have special privileges and that. And then what they found out was that some monks had been, some cyber papal monks had been going into Kerr from Tharkold and finding or searching for forbidden knowledge. And what they found also when they got there was that Abbey or the monastery was being attacked by Tharkoldu demons. And then they met the Inspector Destine. And then they got a lead that their data was in another abbey. So Act 2 is...
Sorry, Mario.
Yes. So Act 2, Scene 1, is... called Come for the Burning, and it is located in Montbard, France, which is a cyber papacy dominant zone. There are various, the Storm Knights can kind of come up with the way that they arrive. I had them go by cyber train. I remember in both my groups, the one that I game mastered and the one that I played in, we went by cyber train. They arrived in this little village out kind of in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those rare places where it isn't all neon shine, hard light constructs and everything. All the axioms and everything are the same as cyber papacy, but this is more of a typical medieval village with just some cybernetic stuff, some technology, but for the most part, it's pretty medieval. Would that be what you would say?
Yeah, I think because all of these mega adventures are kind of like a tour mm-hmm. of each reality, this part is kind of the nice thing to remember that in the cyber papacy, all of the urban centers got like concentrated into these giant sprawls. And then that made all like basically towns no longer exist, right? There's these sprawls and then there's little pastoral villages. Mm-hmm. And around that is dark forest where God's light does not touch, and who knows what goes on out there. So there's actual like monsters and predators out there, witches even, right? So it adds that extra like supernatural and different kind of paranoia than you have in the city. Because in the city, it's always like, oh, the church is watching you. But then, like, when you get out into these small villages, it's like, oh, actually, we kind of need the church out here. Maybe considering what happens when you show up here. But I had the same thing. We came by train, they got out, and there was nobody around. And they were curious, like, what was going on, and eventually made their way into the town proper and found out.
Yes, so what they find out is that there is a burning that's going to happen. So as they get into the village, and they go up, they'll notice that there's a man tied to a concrete stake in the center of the square. Men, women, and children are taking turn placing anything wood, basically. So it's like everybody pitches in and gets ready to burn the heretic. And they are then offered by one of the locals, "Hey, do you want to buy some wood for the burning?" And I do like it says he's genuinely trying to be helpful, of burning this, heretic, which is a good way to set up that the normal people, believe that this stuff is good. So as Storm Knights, a lot of times you're just completely like anything close to the cyber papacy, let's shoot all the police street beaters, let's get rid of all the Cygoyles, blah blah blah. But then you have ordinary people who are participating in this stuff because they think that they're doing something good. They think, okay, this person is a bad person, and the punishment for that is he needs to be burned at the stake. And they even had two witnesses to it. So,
It's all
that's
above board.
right. It's like by cyber papal law, everything is, the way it should be going. So that gives the Storm Knights their first kind of moral choice. Like, what are they gonna do? There's a few things. It says he's scheduled to be burned when the sun sets. Everything was done properly. People have disappeared. This was a guy who kind of kept to himself in the woods. He traded fur and meat. So the thing is you're guilty kind of until you're proven innocent. So there's a couple of things or a few things that the Storm Knights can do. They could just let him burn, just go along with it. As special envoys, they could use that and kind of present their, boom, here's what we are, and basically tell the people, you let them go. And they don't have to state a reason, but if they do and everything's above board, which it is, then the people are going to be even like, okay, your church, you have all these, permissions that we have to do, but they would still be a little suspicious of you trying to figure out because they're not even, say, an inspector or a higher person in the church who would understand that sometimes they have, you have to go undercover and stuff. This would just be mainly the local town folks knowing, okay, this was a guy who should be burned at the stake, and now these random strangers show up and say no, and because they have this status, we have to agree with it and be questioning things. And then the third thing is they could do the law of ordeal, which has a couple of suggestions. It said normally it would be fighting to the death, but that might not be good in the situation. And then the other one that they get is to kind of say, okay, let's have this guy go through a different type of ordeal, whether it's being bait for the demon that is suspected. He's suspected of summoning and having killed off a couple of the town folk, or use him to track since he's an outdoor woodsy guy. He, might have those type of skills, but it kind of gives if the Storm Knights are smart, or if they have like an idea card or figure something out, it gives that choice to do. So is that pretty much what you had?
So my group, we half of the group was like, let's just leave it and head to the Abbey. But one of our group members is a white witch and has very strong opinions about people being burned at the stake. So they went rolling in there and had a big speech, even though no one really well, no, there is a charismatic character, but it wasn't her. So basically she had a big speech, but they heavily leveraged their special envoy status to be like, hey, this may sounds good, but we are here because we know there's more to it, and we're gonna look into it, because if you kill a guy and if he wasn't the reason, it's not going to stop whatever it was. So they got a bit of a reprieve that way. And I must say also that the picture for this, with the glowing cross that the guy's tied to, is probably one of my favorite Torg Eternity pictures. It's just really good. So yeah, they basically convinced a stay of execution. I told them about the trial by combat and like all those things, but they were not very interested in that. And basically, yeah, so then they decided to go out and check out his, because they heard, okay, so that story is that he's a loner who lives outside of town, and he's a hunter. He goes into the forest to do God knows what hunting, right? But so they decide to go check out his cabin. They talk to him as well, but he was in no real condition to say much of anything, so they didn't really get anything useful out of him.
I can't remember if I know my group chose the let's use him, but I don't remember if it was for tracking or for bait. But I do remember that they, took him because, as you said, he's been there for a while, without food or drink and very weak. So, they kind of carried him back to his place. They're able to get a little bit of evidence both at the town and or his cottage. Basically, there was a pile of human bones covered in a strange residue. If anybody can do magic or detecting magic or supernatural evil would get that this goop is these humans with this goop is magical or supernatural evil. He had a banned copy of Candide by Voltaire. My group, I think, got really fixated on the preserved black cat, trying to figure out what it was, and it's just a bad taxidermy. And then there was blood in the premises, but he's a hunter. He sells meat, trades skins, etc. So that kind of goes through. And then going to the cottage, they kind of looked through it, didn't really get more clues, but everything from the cottage kind of confirms all of the stuff that they did.
The pile of bones was kind of like the thing that stands out.
That was the different type thing. It does have a little footnote for game masters saying that if you do take Dominique, if the party does take him with them to hunt for the demon or to go to the cabin, etc., that the law, by invoking the law of ordeal, that actually brings about that when they do encounter the demon, it will attack him as part of the law of the ordeal. So then the party is gonna either have to quickly defend him or he is still gonna get eaten at that.
Gobbled.
Yep, gobbled up. So which takes us to scene two, which is the gobbler. So this is in the forest, still in the cyber papacy dominant zone. It says just after nightfall, whether he burns or not. So, depending It doesn't depend,
You
I
don't have
guess.
to save them.
Yeah, you can just let things go. There's a young woman who runs in screaming that something just gobbled her papa up, and the crowd is able to identify her. And she, basically, it's a let's go follow her or get directions from her and to her house and find out what's going on because some creature gobbled her up. So it does say details are hard for her to convey at this point. She says that it looked like a man, but also like a frog and huge like a bear. So it's basically just big frog guy is what our people were, my players were going with. And then they go to her house. So my parties, both of them quickly just were like, okay, we're going, boom. And then they go into the woods. They get to her house. They kind of look and they find a, I guess a similar but newer pile of bones with goop around them. That would be like the previous one. And there are tracks leading back into the woods. You can do tracking. It is one of the times where it did make mention that it's night, so they remind you about the darkness penalties if you don't have low light or some type of other vision. Which is good to remind people because I know darkness penalties a lot of times get overlooked. So having that reminder there is good. And then basically they test against the demon stealth to see if there's a surprise round or not, which I think is kind of cool because normally it's the other way. That I found, in Torg Eternity, a lot of times it's the player character stealthing against the find of the threats. In this one, it's the opposite, so I kind of like that switcheroo. And basically, they find the gobbler, which is a big demon that is mindless, which gives it a few benefits, making it immune to taunt, intimidate, and telepathy-based attacks. So that's kind of neat. And this thing does look like a big man frog, except for one of its arms is cyberware. So that is kind of a big shocker. It was the last act shocker was kind of like, oh. The monastery was nodding into or going into Kerr. That's really weird and strange. And this is, wait, a demon has a cyber arm
Not
and
a
a
cultic,
yeah not a
but a
cult tech
cyberware.
but a cyberware cyber arm. And it's not a Tharkoldu demon, it's a cyber papal demon. So how did your party react and such to the gobbler?
So when the kid came running in, my papa. So basically, at that point, they were like, "Well, see, it obviously wasn't him because he's been sitting here the whole time." They still had to try to convince people. It kind of reminded me of there's a scene like this in The 13th Warrior where a kid comes running in. So they, they just immediately went out. But this reminded me also. One thing I think I did, because this is when I was still giving out possibilities for role play and stuff before it was just like so many of them. But I basically decided if they tried to save Dominic, then I would give them a possibility each. But if they let it go and let justice carry its course, I would give them each a cyber papal possibility. So that's what I kind of like to do sometimes, especially in Tharkold. I'd be like, if you just beat the crap out of this guy and intimidate him to do what you want, I'll give you a Tharkold possibility, right? But if you try to actually, come up with some, other way, maybe I'll give you a regular possibility. So I kind of like to reinforce the cosms that way. And so that was one thing I did with this adventure too. But yeah, as soon as they heard, oh, that someone's been gobbled, they ran off
Mm-hmm.
after. And they inspected it. And because we have a dwarf, an elf, and someone with cyber optics, the darkness was mostly not a problem. And in fact, because our drone controller had a scout drone, they found this thing super quick. And
Super quick and easy.
the ambush horrifically failed. However, the gobbler is no slouch. So it does have fear. So they got to see it. They got feared. So the first turn, there was like some issues trying to hit it. It's got a ridiculous toughness, I'll just say. It requires a what was it you have to do? So it's got a toughness of 35, right? Because it's got an armor value of 20. But there is a you could target its stomach
Stomach.
if it's vulnerable and you don't have the armor. Although it will hit anyone who's gobbled. And on the very first round, the kid got gobbled. Because Dominic didn't go, right? He stayed in town because the townsfolk were still kind of like, well, we're just going to hang on to him just in case. But the kid went to show them where to go. And yeah, the kid got gobbled first thing. And I didn't really tell them about the part where if you shoot the belly, it also injures the person inside. But yeah, it took a few hits to the belly, and so the kid didn't make it. And I think the dwarf also got gobbled after that too, but then killed it from the inside. Oh yes, because it regurgitated the kid back up, but it was too late at that point. So it was a pretty big fight, like at first with them all being stymied and the high toughness before they figured out what to do. It was looking pretty rough. But eventually, as Grand Storm Knights, they prevailed.
Right. No, but this is a good one that at the beginning, as you said, it can be pretty difficult, especially if you don't realize it. I mean, its claws give it a pretty nice damage to start off with. Without successful fear checks, everybody becomes very stymied. It has the gobble. I think I did change things a little bit because, as I said, with my party, they wanted to go. They use either Dominique as a tracker or as bait. I think they were really going with the we are cyber papal special envoys, not just as a hey, this can get us out of things, but like hey. We're going to represent the cyber papacy is, you know, so they did the more I think about it, the more I really do think that they went with the we're going to use him as bait, as a reasoning to make it sound more in line with what a cyber papal agent would say. And since they had went out to look at his cottage and stuff, and I didn't want them to go look at the cottage to use him as bait, nothing happened, and then go back to the village and then have the girl, you know, run in and then them leave and go back, you know, to the girl's house. So I had like they were putting up the bait trap around the guy's house. And like the guy's house was somewhere between the girl's home and the town. So then when she was running, she ran past them. They were able to figure out the information. And then we're like, oh, let's move the bait. And, you know, told the girl, you know, oh, your house. Oh, Dominic, you know where her house is. Okay, you lead us there. Told the girl to go back to town. Then they got to the house, and then everything progressed as normal. But sometimes as a game master, you might, you know, depending on what your players do, how things fit in the story, you might have to massage things a little bit. There was none of the steps that were like completely left out. It was just a little streamlining, so it wasn't a weird yo-yo back and forth from the woods or the village to the woods to the village back to the woods. So it was kind of cutting that down.
Makes sense.
I do want to say Dominique was gobbled, and they were able to make him, because it says tickling it or forcing it to gag or something, can make it regurgitate that thing, that person, that they were. They got him up. It might have then swallowed one of the Storm Knights. I do want to say Dominique did not die that I can remember. And I want to say it, at least in one of the games, because I'm having two, a game that I was a player and one that I was a game master, and sometimes I kind of mix up which ones were going. In one of them, I want to say a Storm Knight ended up inside of it, and then was stabbing it or shooting it from the inside without that toughness, and was able to finally get it out. I do remember that the it was using its claw to kind of defend its stomach once the people on the outside realized that it didn't have the huge toughness, and were so. It was a combination, and this can be, it has a quote unquote easy out, but if you don't know it, it can be pretty difficult. And if it takes a while for your players to say, hey, what can I see about it? And this is one of those cases where I wouldn't want just to say, hey, everybody, roll a find or roll an evidence analysis or, give me a roll and then immediately tell them. I would want them to ask some questions about visually looking at it in some way and then bring that out on a roll.
It kind of makes an inference that Matilda's dad is in the belly at first. Like it mentions that there's a figure in there. And then later at the end, it says, like, if he survives. So I think the implication was that he was supposed to be in there and you could trick him out, like have it puke it out and rescue him. But I totally didn't figure that out when I ran it. And so he was just bones. Like it was just like puked out his bones, and then the kid was eaten in mine. So I think I technically ran it a bit wrong, but it
And
was still memorable.
that could be it had s a previous victim inside of itself, and then when it went to eat the father, it regurgitated that bone pile, ate him, and was still in the process of digesting. So that's probably the way. I don't think that I caught that either. I think I just had the dad beat the bones. So if you want to do this, it's another thing. Sometimes stuff is after the fight or the stats, so reading ahead can be helpful, which I think both of us were doing play testing as well, so maybe it might have changed between when it was being written and when it
Much of
first
the
came
next
out.
spot wasn't there.
So then what happens is the demon is KO'd or destroyed or however it's taken out. It melts into a sizzling pile of mucus. The only thing that remains behind is its hard plast cyber arm. So it's, specifies what type of cyber arm it is. Or if they had specifically attacked the cyber arm, then there would at least be enough pieces of it, because the cyber
To
arm
identify
is,
it.
one of the. While they knew they needed to go to another abbey, this gives them a big clue on what to kind of go looking for. So it does say examining the arm yields an important clue. It isn't marked with a standard manufacturer signature, but a custom arm shell has a verse inscribed on the inside and a crude etched picture, and the verse reads, "The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious deeds," which is very cyber papal, but at the same time very disturbing that this was on a big cyber arm that was attached to a demon. So there's a difficult scholar test. that can identify it as half the line from Psalm 118 verse 16, a character with one or more faith adds. Here's something I'll say is a little bit different because it says one or more faith adds in any variation of Christian religions is favored for the test. And that's not a Torg Eternity thing. That's more of a classic Torg. When you got faith, you had to have a, in parentheses, what type it was, whether it was cyber papal or do not or whatever. You had to have something. So this one, since it doesn't, I would just say if they have faith that they would be able to do it, and maybe give a bonus if the person is actually some type of, say, whether it's a Sekhelem priest or a cyber priest or whatever, if it's something along those lines, then maybe give them a bonus. Or make it, just change it from difficult, make it hard 14, and then lower it to the 12 if that's what they are. But it says the image is more impenetrable. It might be a four-legged dragon breathing fire or a dog barfing. So think that was pretty funny. Whatever it is, it's some form of four-legged creature with an odd tongue. No skill test can help with this one. It's just saying it's just strange doodles of a bored monk. So that's Game Master information there. That leads in, which will lead into the next scene. But it does have if Matilda or father are alive, and this is where you would, oh wait, he's
Yeah,
alive.
he
If
could be alive.
there is a he could be alive, then that meant that those bones weren't his. They ask for an escort back to their home and invite the Storm Knights to stay. If not, but the main thing is the cyber arm. It's a present, it's distinct evidence that Dominique didn't summon the demon. Something like that has to be installed after the demon appears, and this woodsman is definitely not one to be installing cyberware. And then it did say, well, he might have been, exonerated posthumously. But it's an exoneration nonetheless, I guess. I guess, yay. All that remains is to now go to the Abbey. So they were there to go to the Abbey. This scene is kind of a, let's get this how villages work in the cyber papacy, and let's bring in this twist of a demon with a cyberware arm that has a very cyber papal verse inscribed into it. And one of the things that the social level, the theocracy aspect of the cyber papacy, and the tech all make it so that it's not factory, things aren't just built on in factory assembly lines. So each of the cyber arms is going to be detailed and made specifically for a
Handcrafted.
reason. Yes, they're handcrafted, they're artisan. Somebody did, one or a couple of monks did this very specifically. It wasn't just chugging them down an assembly line. But then it's pretty much, if they go back to the village to rest for the night or whatever, how the village reacts, that's all something that's not described, but depending on what the players did, the game master can like bring that up, whether who survived, who was exonerated, was Dominique killed, was Matilda killed, was her father killed, all of those things can go into how the town further reacts to them, as such as the beginning, depending on their course of action when they heard about the burning, and kind of fall into line of what this village thinks of the Storm Knights. So, what do you have to add to this?
So, in my game, my group I think is kind of responsible for the it being turned into slime because I kept pestering the playtest about like what happens to the body of a demon when it dies. Not just the gobbler, but like any demon, right? Like any summoned demon in the cyber papacy, what happens to it? Because the Storm Knights in my group wanted to drag this like 500-pound demon carcass all the way back to town as evidence of what happened. So eventually, over a week or whatever, I got some answers and things were changed. And so it melted into goo. They just had the arm. And they completely boned all the rolls to understand what the psalm was. Right. So they were like, oh, I don't know, it's just some cyberpapacy stuff, I guess.
Well.
And so they dragged the arm back, and Karma, the weapons merchant, basically convinced everyone. Was like, hey, look, this thing had to be installed. Like, it's not a normal hard plast arm. You can't just put it on a normal person. Someone had to make it specifically for this demon. And they're like, does this guy look like he could do that? No. He had no tools or anything, so he is off the hook, and we're special envoys, so do it. And so that finally basically got it fully through the town's head, and Dominic was released. And instead of having a fire, they had a memorial service for Matilda and her dad because they were not safe. So then the Storm Knights stayed the night and headed out again in the morning. There was a lot of tension, though, with the local preacher versus the White Witch constantly sniping at each other. But because they were special envoys, and because one of them was like an ex-cyber or an ex-church police member and like dressed like it still, he had a little bit more authority. So the villagers left them alone, especially when they threw this giant cyber arm down. But yeah, so they then headed out to the Fontenay Abbey, where they were heading in the first place after this little small town, or small time, as some of them said, diversion.
Mine, even though they had used Dominique as bait, the ending was kind of a similar wrap up where, they got back to town, they were able to convince everybody that no, he wasn't the reason that the demon was going around. Here is the arm as proof. I want to say that they
And then they
even
just left it there too, I think.
trying to remember. I think my party might have the one that I game mastered might have taken it. But the thing that they did do that the one that I played in did not, the when I game mastered, the group went back to the train station because the train station specifically had like GodNet connections
Oh, right.
and
Yeah.
such, and sent Inspector Destine a message explaining what had happened.
Nice.
Like, I think I mentioned previously, the group that I game mastered were all about the, we're just gonna tell him everything because he's gonna come late, so he's just gonna find what we resolved, and if we don't, try to change things or alter things, he'll just accept that we're, doing our own investigation of special envoys, whatever. And if he find, this one, cyberware is holy, it's sanctioned, except for the perk stuff, which is why you spend
Yeah, it's all
experience to get
hacked.
it, to get the hack. But this is cyberware on a demon. There was a monastery that was digging into Kerr. There is a lot of bad things that are against the cyber papacy law and morality that the church is
And just
having,
common sense.
right? So it was like, let's give all of this stuff to the inspector and maybe we'll cause a big hubbub within, somehow within the cyber church of, hey, what's going on, and maybe in the future it'll make our lives easier. So that group definitely, they went back to get to the terminal so that they could send the message to the inspector, and then they're like, and then we're moving on to the Fontenay Abbey. And then went the other group that I was a player with didn't say anything. Like, they had even told, they had got to the point where they told the Inspector most of the stuff, but then they gave a different village that they were going to. So
Okay.
it was more of like 95 of the details or percent of the details are correct, and then the other 5 to just completely throw him off type thing. So that's something as a game master to think. We talked about that previously about the inspector and how he can be used. And I think he's a great NPC. I just really like that NPC. And I when my party started going with the, hey, we're just gonna be up front with this one cyberpapal inspector,
Yeah.
I was like, go for it. It's can be really fun, and it ended up being really fun as well. So this one was a little short, but I think the next act kind of gets really
Next half of
can
the
be
act.
big. Yeah, or sorry, the next scene is can and probably should be expanded quite a bit, so we'll wait till next time to dig into that. I will apologize for all the on and off episodes. It's also getting around the holiday season. We had Thanksgiving here in the United States, and Christmas and New Year's is coming up, and this is also the time where people get sick, and if we're not able to come for other reasons, these don't get recorded. But we don't have plans of ending these, so if something doesn't pop up in a week or, for a week or two, don't get worried about that. Just think, okay, it's a holiday, or things got busy and Lehman wasn't able to put these things into the queue.
Or Lehman just forgot.
Yeah, or Lehman just forgot, because the day that I used to edit and put everything together is filled now. And it's always like I need to get that other day to do things, and I need to put it on my a round of alarms to just remind me, and just haven't done that. So having said that, all of that, we do thank you for watching and or listening to the episode. Hopefully these will help game masters make the best of their unhallowed data mega adventure. You can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com and ask us questions, give us comments, give us suggestions for future episodes. So with that being said, thank you again, and until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Thanks. Bye.